Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Herodias and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yokeful fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace be with you.
Thank you, Les, for reading that. I'm sure we've heard those verses many times or read through them many times. If not, I recommend read through them many times. And they're true, they're good, and they are for us. I would just like to give you guys, I wrote something out, and I would like to read this to you guys, something that has kind of been upon my heart, and the reasoning behind why I have chosen a prayer family for the week. So, I would like to start off with giving a little reference to the prayer family of the week. I love you all, and any who choose to be part of this family of the Creston Baptist. And I want you all to know how important it is that we pray for one another. Amen. We are the beloved children of God. We are important in God's eyes, and we are important brothers and sisters in Christ to each other. We need prayer as we battle each day in this world. We need God's grace to endure the many pains that come through trials. We need God's grace to sprinkle our words with salt as we interact with one another and the world outside these walls. Each week, I have been seeking the Lord on who that family of the week is to pray for, and each time he has brought one to mind. But if there is any who are struggling with this idea in any way, please come talk to me, or if you do not want your names put on there, please come talk to me. I have no desire to hurt you as brothers and sisters in any way. The Lord is wanting us as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for one another and to give encouraging words that will build up and not destroy. Through prayer for one another, this becomes a possibility because when we pray, we are intentionally thinking about who and what we are praying for. When we pray for others, we think less about ourselves and more about others. Amen. The Lord has brought me to Creston to lead and to guide and to shepherd you, and that was by the grace of God that it's happened. We are a family of God, so let us grow together with all reasonableness, not being anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, which is a part of our text here today. Again, please come to speak to me if you have anything with your name being put on for the prayer family of the week. Along with this, if you need to talk about anything, please come to me at any time. Or my wife, we are here. I am here to care for your well-being, for your spiritual well-being, so that you can grow in the Lord. Thank you. So I do not know how all of you have come to faith, but I do know that I desire to know this, and I long to know each of you personally, and my affections for each of you are not a myth. I do love you, and I do care for you. When I say I love you, I mean what I say. I agree with Paul's words that state in Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. The last church my family and I attended, the prayer family of the week, was something they did. And it brought much fruit. And you could see the fruit in the people's lives and in the ones around. But again, I just want to say, if you have any concerns on this behalf, please come to me personally. I have a listening ear. I want to be reasonable, and I want you guys to know my reasonableness. So, let's all stand this morning, and let's shake hands and say hello to your neighbor. I'm coming down. Sorry, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey.
Praise God. Thanks.
I know we may not have got, you may have not got everyone or shook everyone's hand, but I just thank you all for all of you being here. I know I didn't get to shake everyone's hand or give a hug, but I am thankful for all of you. Last week, I had stated something to you guys in a reference towards Finding Nemo the movie, if any of you heard last week's sermon or were here. 2 weeks ago? Oh, sorry, Len spoke last week. I was not here. Yeah, you didn't. I was not speaking. Len was speaking. Thank you, Len. I was not there for that. So yeah, 2 weeks ago, I had spoken on, and I had given a reference towards Finding Nemo. And there was a whole point to it. But in the referencing, I said, just keep going. But actually, in the movie, she says, just keep swimming. So just to ease your minds on that part. So now we're going to dig into Philippians chapter 4. I know we've heard Philippians a few times this morning already. Charlie has said it. Les has said it. I don't know if there was any other one specifically, but I just thank the Lord that we have this book. Amen. Focus and stand firm in the pattern of the Lord. Every day, I am amazed at the realization of how we can confess our sin to God and be forgiven. I want to remind you of the verse in Titus 3, 4 to 5, which says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. When we have a renewal of the Holy Spirit, we have a new mind. With this new mind, we have a new direction, new thoughts, new purpose for the kingdom work. Stephen Lawson states, new birth is the greatest miracle God ever performs. If you are a believer, you are a miracle of grace. And that statement is on the basis of salvation itself, that it's the greatest thing in the sense of salvation for us as people. And it is. It is an amazing thing. Last week I spoke to you guys as well as brothers and sisters striving forward. As we strive forward, do not strive as one beating against the wind. We all know we can't punch the wind. Maybe you've tried, but you cannot. We cannot see the wind. But strive forward for the upward call, for the prize that awaits. Some points I will get to is that we will go through this is going to be my beloved, mindset on Christ, work well together. Mindset on Christ, a mind set on Christ works well. Our minds set on Christ work well together. There we go. Paul's dispute. There's this dispute that comes up a little bit later that we'll get to with this whole thing in chapter 4. So let's start off with my beloved. Now we come to chapter 4 of Philippians that leads us off with the benediction of last week's closing. Sorry, not last week's. 2 weeks ago. I got last week keeping in my mind, staying in my mind. 2 weeks ago we had it for the closing for the benediction. If you have been saved by grace of God and walk in newness of life, you have become brothers and sisters. You are the beloved called by God, who can grow in faith through trials and tribulations. We are the beloved if we've been called by God. We are His children. He called and chose each and every one who has put their faith in Christ. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Paul's words in this text are ever true. They are brothers. They are family. Not only brothers and sisters in Christ, but right after referencing brothers here, he then goes on to sisters. Brothers and sisters. And he talks about those sisters and the situation that is going on with them in verse 2. Paul encourages them before he gives them an exhortation, before he gives them some kind of discipline or some kind of correction or guidance. He first gives them encouragement and shows them the care that he has for them. They can stand firm in what they have learned and been taught of by Paul, living their life so that others can follow. That is kind of a focal point there too in Philippians. But one of the greatest things that we need to see, I believe, as we go through Philippians, I just want to read this to you before we get a little further here, is in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We must look to the interests of others. We must be thinking about others as we strive forward in the gospel call. Has anyone here ever been involved in a dispute? Maybe. Where each of you have a different opinion? Have any of you ever been at the point where you have even parted ways? Maybe it's come to that point because of this differing opinion. It can happen. It has happened. I'm sure it won't be the last time that it ever happens in a church congregation around the world. I have a little analogy to give you. With a nut. They're still here. Let's see. There they are. So, I'm sure everyone's seen one of these before. So with this nut, you may have different things that you think can crack it. I know my first choice would be I would go to one of these, right? And you just crack it open. But some may think that this is a possibility to use. Somehow you can get it in there and crack it, and I believe it would work. Some may think that they could take this and just smash on it and it might come apart and fall apart. It would work. I won't do it for you now, but it would work. I know when we were at Diane's the other day, Lazarus was cracking him and smashing him there in his little bowl that he had that Diane had got for him. And he was having a good time doing it. But I can't remember what you call those bowls, but those round bowls with a little stamper and you can crush mortar and vessel. Yeah, mortar and vessel. Okay, one of those. Anyways, he was having a good time crushing them. Then he was bringing them over to us so we could eat them for Art and I. So I enjoyed that. So we have these, this nut that we use, and we think that there are different ways that we can crack it, and there are. They may work, but we may think that ours is the best way to crack that nut. I know I have been involved in different situations, and I may not have wanted those situations. I may not have sought out those situations, but because God willed it for my spiritual growth, I believe that He did that for all of us too when we go through those situations of differing and of differing of opinions. I would like to as well give you another example in my own life with a situation that did not turn out well. We had a youth group. This was quite a few years back with Rachel and I. We had a youth group that was joined with another one at another congregation. And one of the leaders was determined that we had to make the youth, after the time of the service, say a prayer. Now, it is not wrong to pray with someone when they have been convicted by the Holy Spirit and come to see their fault against God and want new life. I think we could all agree with that, that it's not wrong to pray with someone. But this leader was wanting to make all the youth say a prayer together, ultimately believing they could then force them into coming to faith and then say they're saved. Now this leader can go around saying to others, guess how many youth got saved the other day? There was 10 there. All of them got saved. His heart and desire behind what he was wanting to do was for himself and his own promotion. We are not saved by our own works. Amen. We can never force anyone to come to faith. They must come on their own by the prompting of the Holy Spirit and seeing their separation from God as the word is spoken. Or maybe they're reading the Bible. Maybe they're hearing it from you or someone else. Our differing of opinions on this dispute, this is with my situation here that we had with this other leader in the youth, ended in us parting ways. This was a detriment to the purpose of our true mission, but we could not come to one mind. As we talked, the point was proven that it was not about an opinion we had or what they had. It was ultimately about believing what Scripture says. We must come to one mind. We must come to one mind with what Scripture says about coming to faith. Having the mind of Christ to work side by side. This is why having one mind in Christ is of utter importance, because as workers that work side by side, we must work with one mindedness, in order to accomplish the work God has called us to. If we ever find that we have fallen from this, we need to be brought back. Without one mind, we will let our differences and disputes keep us from being reasonable. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This is from Philippians 4:5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. With this text of Scripture in Philippians, it should help us to see better and not to be double-minded, like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's from James 1:8. Maturity is of utter importance to see more clearly the benefit of coming together with one mind instead of one opinion. As I showed you with the nuts, cracking them. Everyone has a way to crack them, but ultimately when you crack them, you're getting into what's in there. As we have already talked about, Paul's overarching theme of Philippians is to think of others more highly than oneself. That's from Philippians 2:4. This is a possibility by being of the same mind. 4, to two states. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full accord and of one mind. This one-mindedness is there in Christ. For Philippians 2:5 states, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. This mind is yours, so that this way, this mind is yours. So think this way, one-mindedness. Because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Philippians 4:7, from our text we're in. And it will keep me and you humble. Let us read together Philippians 4:2-3. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. The situation is not named. We don't understand. We don't find out. I don't believe how many texts you get to that you can find the answer of what the situation was that was going on between Euodia and Syntyche, or the unnamed true companion who was there to be a helper to bring these two back together to one mind. That is the focus of this whole thing, is that Paul wants them to come to one mind, sisters in Christ, to come to one mind, not opinions, one mind in Christ. Paul does not clearly reveal anything here with their dispute, like I said, or the context to it. I don't believe that it's a coincidence on Paul's part to do this. Even though we may want to know what the disagreement was, I know I do as I read through this text, and after I read over it and 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 went to other areas, I was like, what is it saying? What is he saying? What happened? I need to know what happened. But we don't. But we want to know. We want to know the gushy details that were entailed. What did she say to her? I wonder what she said back. On the other hand, I believe we can see Paul pointing us back to Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Standing side by side, striving forward. Philippians 1:27. Did I read the wrong one? All right, I flipped here. Philippians 1:27 for the gospel. We're good? Okay. This is coming together and working together, running the race together with one mindset, looking forward with one mind, knowing that each of these women have their citizenship in heaven. Paul wants to help them. He knows their citizenship, as they fulfill the work of Christ on earth until he returns. They're working side by side. This is the same for us as well. Being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's from Philippians 2:2-3. This is not the first time we do find a dispute happening in the church, in the scriptures. Maybe Paul was even thinking about his own situations that he had gone through. I know with Peter, he had to correct him. And then this one, I'm just going to use the example of, is in Acts. There is a piece that I would like to read to you. Could you, Rachel, could you run to my office and grab my backpack? Just bring the whole thing. There was a little piece I wanted to read to you out of a book. Bring the whole backpack, like the... Yeah, if you can find the book in there, bring it. I'm hoping that I brought it with me, because it would help bring light to a little bit of this. I can kind of give you an example with it. But before we get that, let's just read James 3:14. If you guys would flip there with me. Just flip a little over into the New Testament. James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy, any selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Verse 18. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1, just to read that. Give us a little more here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So Paul had a dispute with Barnabas in Acts 15, as I brought up to you earlier. And that's 15:36-41, if you guys want to look at it later for yourselves. When he desired to return to all the places they had declared the gospel, and seeing how they were, to see how they're doing, see if they're holding up, he wanted to return. But Barnabas wanted to take along Mark, but Paul did not believe they should do so, and a sharp disagreement happened. And that's from Acts 15:39. And it rose, and they ended up departing ways. Barnabas took Mark and returned to Cyprus, but Paul took Silas and went into Syria and Cilicia. So there was a separation, a parting. Later on, you see Mark come up later on in the scriptures with Paul. But at this situation, and in this situation, there was a separation. We need to understand that disputes will arise as we work together in the church. They're not going to not arise. They're going to be there. It's going to happen. We can't not get around it, even with having the mind of Christ. But the thing is that we need to see, maybe we're not having the mind of Christ in our disputes. With disputes arising, they can either destroy us or better us to understand the ever-pressing need to look for heavenly wisdom. That's why I brought up James to you guys. Look not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's from Proverbs 3:6. Along with James 3:14-18, though, it reminds us of true wisdom. And true wisdom comes from above. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Now, if you are eating this nut that we've cracked, and this is, if you're chewing on this thing that someone has cracked for you, or maybe you've cracked and used your tool that you used to crack it, and you bite into it, but the nut ended up being still there. The nut was there, but the shell was still there, a little piece of the shell. And then you realize that some of the cracked nut shell was still there. Then you go, oh, that didn't feel so good. Anyways, I'm saying this because the other day when I was at Diane's, I was chewing on one from Lazarus. And as I was chewing on it, I bit down and I got a good shot in my tooth, which was a root canal, which was very expensive. And my thoughts went to, is it destroyed? Did I just chip a chunk off? Because then I thought, well, maybe the shell is actually the chip of the tooth, or is a piece of the tooth. Anyways, my concerns went all over the place. But my tooth is okay. But the shell still remained. So Lazarus used the tool of smashing for his to get it out. And his tool wasn't wrong. His tool worked. It revealed the gem that was there. It revealed the nut inside. That was his tool that worked for him. He tried all the different tools actually beforehand, before he started the crusher one. I can't remember the name of the thing. But before he started it, started using that one, he was using some other ones. But then he got this and he was like, oh, this is good. I can smash this thing and separate the pieces afterwards. I use this analogy in the midst of this text to point out the time and the effort we can put into striving for Christ. But out of nowhere, we can end up having a disagreement with another brother or sister in Christ, and it may hurt. It may even cause us to go, oh, I wrecked it. I've wrecked this relationship, and it's going to be expensive to repair. But if it does not receive repair, when it has been chipped, the tooth will cause more problems. So Paul was directing them to deal with the situation that was at hand, to deal with what was going on, whatever that may have been, to come together with one mind, strive side by side. Do we see this? Do we see the importance of this? We must have the nature of God. And this goes along with our little later in Philippians 4:8. If you still have your finger in James, just leave it there if you can. But Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we need to think about these things. We need to contemplate God's character, God's goodness. We need to think about the situations that we have before us. We need to think, when we bring them to prayer, when we bring them to God, we're giving them to Him so that He hears and knows and can deal with what is going on in our lives. I want to read a little piece to you here with Peeler. Peeler was a teacher, and this is his book, Others. He was a teacher at Miller College. He was there for years. I never got to be taught by him. He was already passed away. But he says in this book, today's accounts may not go into the church records or the local papers, but every congregation experiences some dissension. As long as imperfect human beings care about the church, as long as imperfect human beings care about the church, they will disagree on how to operate. It operated and how to interpret their Bibles. The present day economical passion will not eliminate this, and its goal of total oneness will never be realized because of it. Tensions are increasingly evident between those who want to maintain the status quo and those who want to branch into something new. Often it is the generational gap. For some, anything practiced 10 years ago is outdated, and for others, anything not done 30 years ago is contemporary in the worst sense of words. So disagreements are not unhealthy per se, he says. But they are accompanied with misunderstanding, hurt feelings, and competitiveness. They do carry the potential for disaster, but when properly handled through the peaceful wisdom from above, they can be a constructive force for the strengthening of the church's witness and ministry. And this is why I gave you James 3, wisdom from above. We need the wisdom from above to deal with situations when they arise. When things come at us, whatever that may be, as we work together, imperfect people in the church, striving forward to share the gospel. An example that he gave a little bit later here was two porcupines in the north huddled. Two porcupines in the north huddled together to keep warm. But their quills pricked each other, and they moved apart. They were soon cold again and huddled again, with the same result. They needed each other, but kept needling each other. The names of these two porcupines might well have been Uodiah and Syntek. So, some application things as well to take here. Do we think with the mind of Christ? Are you reasonable? Because others will see it. If you are, aren't. Do you make your requests known to God when you have them? Do you make them known to God? Do you come to Him with the conflicts, with brothers and sisters in Christ as you labor side by side for the kingdom work? Not for your own work, but for the kingdom work. Do you make your requests known to the Lord to get His wisdom, the word wisdom? We must live for others, not others living for us and pleasing us. We must live for others. Christ died, He lived so that we could now live this life and then one day be with Him. Christ lived in order that we could see this. We could see His example. Paul lived and he gave an example for us. Titus, Timothy, there's many that gave examples for us. We are beloved and must live to die for the sake of the gospel. If you are here today and you have past hurts, if you have hurt others in the past, I urge you to confess your sin to one another before the Lord to find healing. I know for a fact that the Lord has great things for this church because those who are part of this are good and have been put in this position and have been put here and have come here, whether that's leaders or whether that's people, we have all come here together to find something. Find something even too. Maybe when we come here, we've come here to find something. Or maybe we've come here because we wanted to encourage others. Or maybe we've come here because we want to know more. And we do need to read our Bible and we do need to study to understand the Word of God and what it has for us. But God has chosen for this church to be established here in Creston and for each and every one to be here. So if you are here today and you have never come to faith in Christ, but you are seeking and want to repent of your sins and to be forgiven, please do not let a moment pass. Repent and believe and come talk to me or the elders. Let's pray before we go back to worship and music. Father, I just thank you for the words that we have heard now from your word and what you had put upon my heart. And I know, Father, that as I studied through this week, I did struggle with how to present it, how to bring it. So I just thank you that we had this opportunity to hear this. And I do ask again, Father, that if there is anyone here that has past hurts or has hurt others, that they would go to that brother and sister in Christ and they would confess it and that they would know that there is healing that can be brought. When we confess our